Yes, indeed, it is time to say goodbye, although maybe not quite yet. Angie, otherwise known as German Chancellor Angela Merkel, is on her way out. This week she announced she will step down as leader of her party, which means it's the beginning of the end of her leadership of Germany. So, what will the country do without her? Who will take over? And what does this mean for politics in Germany and the rest of Europe? I'm Damian McGuinness. I'm my usual co-host. Berlin's other alpha female, Michelle Kufner, is off travelling. Between you and me, I think she's plotting how she can become the next Merkel. But have no fear, we have a superstar posse of local experts here. Andreas Klut is editor-in-chief of Handelsblatt Global. Now, Andreas, alongside decades of reporting on Germany, you've also written about Hannibal, entitled What Hannibal Can Teach Us About Success and Failure. What can Merkel teach us about success and failure?
How to hang on and prolong success for an amazingly long time, really. If you think 18 years party leader, 13 years and counting chancellor with a good chance of making it to, until 2021.
Yeah, young people have never known another chancellor, have they?
Young people, the Merkel generation. But you know, my favorite article that I've ever written about her was about her body language. She just, no one thinks she's ideologically this or that or
she's a pragmatist.
She knows how to manage difficult men, which helps. She lacks vanity. She has a lot of lessons, more than Hannibal's maybe even nowadays, for success. You know?
And who were her role models in her route to success?
I'm not sure that she had clear role models.
She had a mentor. Didn't she have a favorite book that she kept reading?
Oh, tell me which one was
that? Machiavelli's The Prince.
Oh, I've read that, but when I've
is
heard her
true,
say what she's
rumor?
Reading at the moment, there were things like... because she's quite Lutheran, a book on mercy once, clemency, like almost philosophical. I think she reads, we've all read Machiavelli, you've read Machiavelli, that's just part of the canon, you know?
There's also a rumor that she has a picture of Catherine the Great on her desk, is that true?
I've not been in her office, but why not?
And some brutal role models, I would say.
Yeah.
Also here is Melinda Crane, DW's chief political correspondent. Now, Melinda, you've lived in Germany since the beginning of the 1980s. How unusual was Merkel's announcement this week?
It was unusual to some degree, but actually it was expected, and many people would say it was overdue. And it was absolutely the right announcement at the right time, because
people saying
her government,
canny, wasn't it?
Her party, her government were not going to settle down and get to the business of governing until she took herself out of the equation. And she's finally done that. Some would say it should have come earlier. Others would say there were others in the government who perhaps could have stepped down and calmed things down more effectively than she. But essentially, this was absolutely the step she needed to take also her own legacy back into her hands. If she had
People
stayed
saying
on...
it was a sort of way of stage managing her own exit to a certain extent.
Not
well.
Stage
well,
managing. I think, absolutely, not stage managing. She is now being proactive in terms of shaping her exit from the stage. That's good for everybody. It's good for her and her entry in the history books, because the fact is, if she hadn't done this, she was going to be a victim of circumstances. There was going to be an ugly takedown process.
So
that's
a bit
not
of a canny
happen.
Move, you'd say.
Absolutely, okay. A canny move, a right. Wise move from a leader who has an important entry in the history books.
Right, we're going to talk about all that in a lot more detail the next half hour. Also joining us is William Gloucroft, intrepid reporter for DW Politics. There were rumours the morning before she stepped down that this was going to happen, William. How surprised were people on Monday?
Well, as Melinda said, I don't think people were surprised. People, in the sense that people knew it was coming.
At some point.
But when the news broke that morning that Angela Merkel's going to have this announcement, it was kind of a gasp moment. I remember watching the press conference, and it was a bit of a kind of an exhale, a bit of a cathartic moment where finally this thing that everyone has known is coming is finally here, and now we can, instead of kind of going in circles with this topic, we can now start to look forward to what comes after.
But it was a historic moment. It was pretty unspectacular, though, wasn't it? She sort of gave a bullet-pointed list of she was talking about.
It was spectacular in a very Merkelian way, I guess you could say. I mean,
as dramatic as she gets.
Exactly. Very relative to Angela Merkel. I did think there was a bit of drama in it. I mean, she made very clear, it wasn't just, oh, I'm stepping down and, yeah, everything you've heard is true. It was a very clear, explicit, I am done.
But she is still Chancellor. In fact, she's in this room with us. We have Merkel here with us today, or at least a life-size cardboard cutout of her. I think producer Kate found her in the cupboard, actually. So she's looking a bit battered. How battered is Merkel feeling, do you think, by this sort of the scandals that have run her government and the rows that she's faced over the past few months?
I think she's been feeling battered, but this week I think she feels good. She seemed to me, I agree with you, when she made the announcement, more relaxed than I've seen her in a while.
Yep.
And by the way, I just wanted to pick up, you insisted on using the word canny, and so did others. And I've written, I've used clever, but clever and something else. You can be clever and dignified at the same time. And I have to tell you, I felt she was dignified. I felt she was relaxed. She was clever in that she took back control over her exit. And she was dignified in that she's known for a long time that it was inevitable and that she would not hang on to power, cling like a half dead wreck.
But in theory, she could still be chancellor until 2021. Explain that to me.
That's the term of her government in office. In other words, she plans to remain chancellor until the next election would occur if things go as planned.
That's right.
So that is the normal term. And she is, for the first time in many, many years, now separating the office of party leader from the office of chancellor. She herself long said that's not the right way to go. That is not a good way to handle the important decisions that have to be made. So she had wanted to keep on bundling them in one person. That's where her big concession is here. You asked whether she was feeling battered. I have to say, Angela Merkel is one of the least narcissistic politicians that I think any of us will ever see. That's one of her big strengths. Yes, she may have been feeling a little personally battered. She certainly felt her government was battered in the sense of so riven with dissension. She said herself, word for word, our government is conveying an absolutely unacceptable image. That is strong talk.
Because the government's been on the verge of collapse.
Absolutely, it has. It has been taking itself apart. It has been self-absorbed. It really is an abysmal picture that it's given. So I think she certainly felt her government was battered by itself, so to speak.
And her announcement effectively was saying she won't run for party leader in the party conference in December, which she ordinarily would have done. That means she's on the way out. But the German media and the international media has been in full-on obituary mode. Hasn't there been a bit of hagiography here, though? Haven't we been a bit too positive about Merkel's legacy?
Oh, I think so. I mean, Merkel is known for managing crises, but not necessarily being proactive in preventing crises or seeing how to develop something that a crisis won't occur.
Accused of inaction, isn't she?
Yeah, inaction. Always leading from behind has been her classic criticism of her. I mean, there's a lot of hopes pinned onto her. I think we reflect, people reflect what they want to see in Angela Merkel, especially being a woman from the former East Germany and holding on for so long. I think people have seen her as a much more progressive, proactive chancellor than she really has been.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to look at that image in a lot more detail in a minute. This was all sparked, of course, not only by the rows within her government, it was also sparked by her party's poor performance in regional elections in Hesse. Now the race is on for her successor as party leader, which may also end up being chancellor. In a minute, we're going to chat about who that successor might be, but let's have a listen first of all to how Merkel actually chose to make the big announcement.
Für mich ist es heute an der Zeit, Ihnen folgende Entscheidungen mitzuteilen.
It is now time for me to share with you the following decisions. First, at the next CDU party conference in December, I will not run for party leadership. Second, this, my fourth term in office as Chancellor, will be my last. In the 2021 election, I will not run again for office or for a seat in the Bundestag. And, just for the record, I will not seek any other political offices.
That was producer Kate giving her world-famous Merkel impression. She actually does a Merkel impression with the German accent as well, but I thought we wouldn't subject you to that. How has the German press reacted to Merkel's announcement?
It's a lot of tributes. She has really gotten a lot of tributes from some unexpected sides. One thing that I found almost touching was the fact that several leading women in politics, including the head of the Social Democratic Party, which, yes, is the junior coalition partner in this government, but also a rival of the chancellor's, she had such warm words, astonishingly warm words, for the chancellor and her achievements. Coming from a Social Democrat, that's a little bit surprising. And then we heard from a number of other important women in politics, very, very significant tributes, basically saying what Angela Merkel had done in terms of opening this field for women.
And although people would say she hasn't done that much for women as such. By being there as a woman, yes, she's opened the field, but has she done much for women lower down the chain?
To some degree, in trying to make the burdens of running, of managing a family compatible with the burdens of the workplace, that has been part of the CDU's policies. They have taken steps in that
SPD's
area.
SPD's policies.
It's a joint government, and
that's
they
true.
Did
so she's
sign
accused,
up.
She's accused often of stealing centre-left policies, isn't she?
Yeah,
but she's right in the centre of middle Germany, represents the centrist position, doesn't she?
I think there's something very characteristic about Merkel on this point of women, because twice I've been present when she was interviewed by others, and she was essentially the first time by a woman's magazine here, and the interviewer kept saying, isn't it hard to be a woman? And she finally said, you know, it's often also very hard to be a man, and she didn't want to be drawn into that role. The second time was at a stage at which Ivanka Trump and other powerful women were present, and she was asked, who here is a feminist? And she didn't want to call herself a feminist. And it was typical Merkel, because she de-escalates, she doesn't escalate. I think she has been great for women, especially by setting an example, but she's never wanted to make that her thing.
You know what, it actually reminds me of Barack Obama and his determination not to be seen as a president for African Americans. He said many, many times he wants to do things for African Americans among other groups. And I think when we talk about whether Merkel is a modernizer, she opened her party in a number of ways, amongst them by not having a sort of check the box of identity characteristics that you have to fulfill to be a member of the CDU. Many women
voted. She's Eastern German, she was Protestant, and she made her way in this male
homosexual
West German
marriage
Catholic
on her
party.
Watch. Homosexual marriage on her watch. A number of modernizing steps that she took to essentially change identity politics in this country. And I think it will be interesting to see when a successor does come around whether they try to revert to that old idea of a typical CDU voter and thereby lose some of the people they've opened up
to. Of course, the center right, the conservatives, who are traditionally pretty conservative, but not under Merkel.
And white. And so on.
That's true. So how have the international press reacted?
I found the international reaction a bit awkward. You know, when the press conference was happening, I checked BBC, The Guardian, and The New York Times. I was interested to see just what their headlines were. And from an international perspective, the real news is her as chancellor. Now, forget about the internal German party politics, because that's not very relevant to anyone outside Germany. So for them, the news was Merkel is not chancellor anymore, but until 2021, and she still is. And this, the news for them was something that's not actually happening for 3-4 years. And the real news of that day, that she's staying on as chancellor, but stepping down, or will step down as party leader, that kind of got lost, even though that was the news. And I found the international media, especially at least the English-speaking media, not quite sure how to report this story.
It's a hard story to tell in 30 seconds on TV, isn't it? So let's have a look at who is throwing their hat in the ring to take over. And to do that, we're going to give you a bit of musical inspiration. I'm going to play you a clip of music, and you have to tell me which potential Merkel successor this music refers to. And then I want you to tell me how likely it is that that person will end up as leader.
Teacher's pet.
Okay. Any ideas? Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer. Yeah, that's the one. Why is she teacher's pet?
Well, because she's the one that Merkel has tapped, you know. She is a woman. She is very temperamentally a lot like Merkel.
Very low-key.
Low-key, a de-escalator, doesn't fuel the fire, doesn't pick fights, low vanity, also low narcissism.
She's
a conciliator.
Centrist, isn't she, politically? She's in the middle politically
she's
of the party.
She's very much in Angela Merkel's mode. Yeah. She would keep the party essentially where it is right now, sort of, in the middle. And she's, I think, drastically underestimated.
Like Merkel was many years.
So
To what extent is it a liability being seen as a mini Merkel for a party that wants change?
I guess that depends how much, you know, animosity there is towards Merkel come the Parteitag, the party meeting in December. If they really want to make a break from Merkel,
or if you don't choose another Merkel.
Yeah. But if you literally just want to get rid of Merkel, which they've now done, then maybe that does leave some space for her anointed successor, as she's been dubbed.
As you were saying, Melinda, she could unite the party because she's popular with centrists, but she's also quite socially conservative on certain issues, so she could bring the party together. How likely, then? On a score of 1 to 10, 1 being not going to happen, 10 extremely, extremely likely.
5.
I was going to say 5.
That's very centrist of you all. Very Merkel.
We haven't got into the mathematics of this and all that. It's up in the air. That's why it's such a cliffhanger.
Give me a score, Melinda.
I'll just be different and say 4.
Okay.
So you think it's 4.5?
It's less likely. Right. Okay. Next piece of music, please. Okay, any ideas? Wham, Young Guns?
Spahn. It's a little bit camp, and we should say he's openly and proudly gay, but it just sort of, I would say that's something he can believe.
Actually, that wasn't what I was getting at. It was just the Young Guns thing. But yeah, that's true.
I kind of thought it was music from the era of Friedrich Merz, so I was going to...
Okay, so Jens Spahn, current health minister. Tell me about him. He's the youngest contender, isn't he? 38 years
he's
old.
He's very conservative. He has a lot of knowledge. Well, actually, he's also been remaking himself, interestingly enough. Since he's been health minister, he's been working with the Social Democrats to put forward some of the things they want, but doing it with alacrity. It seems like maybe he has his eye on the chancellorship and thinks he needs to be seen as somewhat more, at least socially compassionate, in order to be able to be convincing as a chancellor
candidate. Well, he's ambitious, isn't he? So he wants it.
Absolutely, very ambitious. And he is also a protege of Wolfgang Schäuble, the former finance minister. He was his state secretary, if I'm not mistaken, and has a lot of knowledge on financial policy. So that would be considered a plus.
Right, what's that about? Connected to Jens Spahn. No, connected to Jens Spahn. Still on Spahn here.
Oh,
elephant in the room.
Exactly. So that was a famous quote he wrote in a German newspaper, the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, pitching his candidacy. What does he say?
Migration is the elephant in the room.
Yeah, well, he actually said white elephant in the room. I think he got his English phrases all muddled up,
didn't
he? But yes, he was talking about... So he's obviously pitching at the anti-migrant, anti-refugee end of the party.
The thing is, I find it much less compelling as a metaphor than what Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer said about migration. She said migration has the potential to be the Agenda 2010 of our party. Agenda 2010 is what splits the Social Democrats to this day.
So
it was
the
their attempt to reform
that,
social welfare laws to make them stricter.
Which is very controversial for a left-wing party.
To save money for the government and give more incentives for people to work. Rips this SPD apart to this day. I think that is true, that the migration issue is still ripping this party apart. And Jens Spahn is putting his finger in the wound with that remark.
Okay, I'm going to play you a video about Jens Spahn. I want you to tell me about this.
Die CDU ist das Herz unserer Demokratie.
Did anyone see this?
Oh, I saw this yesterday.
What is this?
My first question was, I want to know how long he's had this in the drawer waiting to pull this out, because it's got some quite the good production values to have.
So this was Jens Spahn, his promo video.
His kind of promo video for, you know, pitching himself to be head of CDU and maybe more. It goes to show how a bit of energetic music can make anything look, you know, professional and slick, including just holding his phone, because most of this 30-second clip, this spot, he's just kind of holding his phone sitting with children and walking down the street.
Which is about him wanting to win younger members of the party and younger voters, and that actually is a plus. Yeah. Supposedly, if the CDU wants to renew itself, shouldn't it be looking for a generation change?
So Jens Spahn, in his 30s, pitching himself as a young, funky thing with some young, funky editing, do you think that'll go down well? Does he stand a chance?
Oh, yes.
Popular with conservatives in the party, isn't he?
If you look at the polls, supposed polls, but these are broad polls, they're not only of CDU members, they show that he's running third, that he's trailing. But the fact is, if you look at it according to age, a breakdown on age, he's very popular with the younger voters. So he
He's also seen as very conservative. So he's very popular with very conservative younger voters.
But as we said, he's kind of remaking his image while we speak.
Fake conservatism Johnson's about a year ago went on a thing against cosmopolitans in Berlin. I mean, he's just trying to pick off very opportunistically. That's what it is, opportunism. He hangs out with Richard Grenell, the American ambassador. They're just, you know, tweedledee, tweedledum.
And Sebastian Kurz, conservative Austrian chancellor, yes. Also someone he hangs out with.
To me, it's a kind of window dressing conservatism.
Give me a score for ambitious Jens Spahn. What are his chances?
I'll say 2.
Oh, okay. So not very likely.
Yeah.
I think he has a great shot because he is very conservative, so he appeals to conservative wings of the party. And he's young, so he appeals to young people.
So that video won you over. As the youngest person in this room, William, I think you can speak for the young. Maybe he just looks very fresh.
I'd put him at a 7.
Okay. Melinda, what do you reckon?
It's all down to you. That's what it's
Four.
Four, okay. Hi. Okay. You're a cautious player there, Melinda. I like it. Okay, final song. Who's this? Guess who's back?
Yeah,
so, yeah, who's yeah, back?
Yeah. He's the most interesting one.
Yeah,
because
why are we
he's
saying
currently
he's
the least known one because yeah. We have to get reacquainted. Mm. We knew him well, or actually the old geezers knew him well, and then we didn't see him for 10 years, and now suddenly he's back. We've got to figure out what is he now.
Yeah, because he was former leader of the conservative parliamentary group in the Bundestag.
He was a high-flying figure. Yeah. He was viewed as absolute first top player among potential chancellor candidates, and then along came Angela Merkel. And they did not see eye to eye. He is also significantly more conservative than
she is. He was her first
is.
Victim on her way to the top, wasn't he?
Was he the first?
Not
I don't know,
first.
But he was
well,
one of the most visible victims. And eventually wound up leaving politics after 7 more years as a member of parliament.
Which he probably doesn't regret because he earns a fortune, so worked in finance.
Basically, he stands for business-friendly policies, and he did back then as well. He stands for simplified tax code, which undoubtedly would be a positive change. And he stands for conservative values, he says. But now that he's in the running, people have been asking him, well, you know, are you really thinking you can take the CDU back to what it was essentially mm-hmm. when you were at the height of your powers? And he said quite openly, no, mm-hmm. I don't think so.
There's lots of excitement around him, though, isn't there? People are energized in the Conservative Party.
It's hype, and it can very quickly.
A year and a half ago with the Schulz train around Martin Schulz, so that's why the next 2 months will be so interesting to watch, because he could self-destruct, but he's quite experienced. He may not. You know, one thing about him, so he's also, by the way, Schäuble is also quite close to him,
absolutely.
So Schäuble has two horses in this.
So that's former finance minister, key player in the Conservatives.
The eminence of the party. Who has also
head of the Bundestag, president of the Bundestag.
Yeah, with a lot of sway behind the scenes. But, you know, it's interesting. So he's, Merz I'm talking about now, also going to try not to go backward in politics. You never want to go backward, only forward. And in my newspaper, he published with 5 other authors, including Jürgen Habermas, a famous philosopher, a very pro-European, almost pro-Macron, think piece a week ago, just before he put it through
so
his hat.
So he suddenly
in.
Sounds less. He suddenly sounds more. More
I think
centrist,
he will want to
he?
Sound centrist yeah. because I think that's why. Also, I think he and AKK realize it's going to be one in the center, and Spahn is actually, I personally think, wanting to get a top job under Merz and then go next time.
Give me a score then for Merz.
Six.
Oh, yeah. That was very definitive. So
Six.
You think he's the most likely of your
I
picks?
I do think
there.
So.
Okay, interesting, Melinda.
I also give him a 7 because I think it's going to come down to
which
way the party wants to go.
So we have a 6, we have a 7, Merz. Okay.
So to make this interesting, yeah, I'm going to correct a previous score. I'm going to say it's 5-5 AKK Merz with 0 to Spahn, because Spahn will tactically, will gracefully accept defeat in order to go next time when it's his turn.
Bill?
I think it'll be Merz, Spahn.
Oh, right. Okay, the two conservatives.
The two conservatives, and coming down more on age.
The young one, the old one. Right. Melinda?
I think that it's 6th of December is the party conference, right? I think we'll see all 3 of them still in the running.
Yeah.
And as I say, I think probably Friedrich Merz has slightly better odds, but it is still a long time till then. A lot can happen.
Quite right. Okay, well, you did also well then. I'm going to give you a little treat. Producer Kate was out and about reporting in Saxony yesterday. She brought back some little seasonal treats. These are Reformation rolls.
Now, that's amusing. Reformationsbrötchen. That's quite amusing because Angela Merkel, as a Lutheran, daughter of a Lutheran pastor for the East, is very much associated with the part of Germany that produced the Reformation. And some people are talking about whether the shift we're about to see could be a shift away from that sort of Reformation Protestant Northern German right. approach to a much more Catholic North Rhine-Westphalia. And that's quite fascinating. So we may see a cultural shift here with profound implications for all of Germany.
So, Andreas, you are both German and American. What's it mean for the rest of the world?
For the foreseeable future, it means limbo, which we've already been in, because everyone now remember, especially towards Macron, but also on other big decisions, they've constantly been waiting for something to happen so that Germany would finally decide something big. Now we're waiting yet again for December 8th, and even then we may have to wait a bit longer, and that's terrible. But I think Angela Merkel will keep running this show pretty professionally, but nothing big on Eurozone reform or anything will come out of Germany for at least half a year.
So more waiting.
I'd also have to say more waiting. We've been waiting.
We waited 6 months for the coalition to come together.
It's been a series of waiting.
Then 6 months waiting while they got over themselves
and still getting over themselves, yeah. and we'll wait some more. But I also think, and at risk of sounding a bit too cynical, it's also been rather convenient to have these internal squabbles, to not have to make these big decisions on the EU that a lot of Merkel's own government and Merkel herself are not such big fans of Macron's policies about coming closer together with the common euro budget, etc., etc. We know that her former finance minister, now president of Bundestag, Schäuble, is absolutely against, you know, giving more German support to the EU that will cost Germany money. So this waiting can also be seen as a tactical approach.
Let me take a slightly different and perhaps more optimistic perspective on this, and it may be tinged by hope that this could be the case. I think Angela Merkel's move with this clear statement to her government, you are not doing business the way you need to be doing business. You need to get your act together. We need to get our act together. And she put it in those terms. I think maybe that could serve as a wake-up call. I think it is possible that the government, they actually have been passing legislative initiatives. Nobody is paying attention.
Obviously, they've done stuff, haven't they?
Yeah, on domestic policy, they absolutely have. Small stuff, yes. But
you're saying she's going to fire her interior minister, which is overdue. Which
well,
she now
no,
can.
No. You know, the papers are saying today he's got his resignation mapped out.
Good. So, of course, the Interior Minister, just to clarify,
he's the source of all the divisions within
Horst
the government.
Seehofer,
and
Bavarian,
he's the one who has taken the government hostage.
Exactly. So Horst Seehofer, one of the leads of the Bavarian Conservatives, has been the thorn in her side most of this year.
Thorn in the whole government's side. Really just kept it absolutely self-absorbed and riven with dissension. So let's say that he does step down. And let's say her wake-up call is heard. I think it is not impossible that also under the leadership of her successor, we could see a more forward-looking policy, hopefully also on Europe. Friedrich Merz said very clearly that's what he wants. For that reason alone, actually, I would put my money on him.
Interesting. Okay, we will see. Right, to finish up, I want you to give me one word that describes Merkel's legacy.
Decent.
Why?
Because she is a good human being. She lacks narcissism, as we said. She lacks vanity, which is exceedingly rare among Homo sapiens, especially among Homo politicus. And we will look back. And, you know, as world leaders go, if you compare it to Bolsonaro, Trump, Duterte, Putin, Orban, we will miss her.
Managerial.
That's not very inspiring.
Every good organization needs good managers. I think partly what was just said, that she's had to manage a lot of big egos, a lot of big divisions between various camps, but also managing crisis after crisis. You know, we've been through the financial crisis, the euro crisis. The European economy is still kind of bumbling along and hasn't quite picked up speed, certainly not in comparison to where the U.S. has gone over the last few years. And Merkel's right at the center of that.
I'm really torn between either stabilizing or adept. And what I mean by that is that she governed in an extraordinarily turbulent time, not just the sovereign debt crisis, Ukraine, Russia. She kept Germany on track on sanctions. Many people thought she wouldn't manage to do that, but she did. She is a leader who recognized from the start the limits of her power, like Barack Obama. Both of them are very aware that in a complex world, national tools don't always solve all the problems. In that way, I think she has used her power pretty appropriately and adeptly to stabilize Europe and Germany in some very difficult circumstances. She wasn't always visionary, but she certainly was an adept stabilizer, and there's a lot to be said for that.
And Germany loves stability.
That is true. Okay, well, let's not write her off just yet. For now, the decent, managerial, stabilizing, adept Merkel is still Chancellor, and we are definitely sticking around, so join us next week when we'll do a history special in time for the 100th anniversary of the end of World War One, and we'll also bring you the latest on Merkel's long, long, long goodbye. After all, given she may still be around for a while, it's not over till it's over. Zeit.